Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is August 14th, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out the history of trading videos on the MarketsWiki Education page of johnlothiannews.com, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The one-time boy genius Sam Bankman-Fried, who made more money under 30 than anyone since Mark Zuckerberg, is now Sam Jailhouse Not Fried after a federal judge ordered him to jail for trying to influence witnesses, the New York Times reported. Bankman-Fried should take a page out of Zuckerberg's book and work on his MMA fighting skills, because Sammy may be spending an extended stay in the Gray Bar Hotel. New York Magazine has a story about Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon that asks the question, is David Solomon too big a jerk to run Goldman Sachs? With the subheading, Inside a Banking Mutiny. My first response was, is that even a thing at Goldman, being too big of a jerk? I thought it might even be a qualification for the job. The DTCC today is kicking off its testing program for T+1, and Val Wooten, DTCC Managing Director and General Manager, Institutional Trade Processing, issued the following statement. Today marks a pivotal moment as DTCC's T+1 testing program kicks off in preparation for the U.S. move to T+1. Due to the number and magnitude of changes that will be required to achieve a T+1 settlement cycle, it is critical that firms conduct a comprehensive and well-coordinated industry test to ensure readiness and a successful implementation. This includes end-to-end testing from trade execution to trade settlement, including involving Institutional Trade Processing, ITP, National Securities Clearing Corporation, NSCC, and Depository Trust Company, DTC, as well as other relevant market infrastructures. DTCC's T+1 testing program will run August 14th through May 31st, 2024, leveraging 21 biweekly testing cycles. At DTCC, helping to ensure a seamless transition for our members and the wider industry remains a top priority, and we urge firms to take full advantage of our robust testing opportunities. For those firms who may still leverage manual post-trade processes, it is critical that they maximize automation to achieve timely settlement. The SEC has emphasized that institutional trades must be allocated, confirmed, and affirmed as soon as is technologically possible and no later than trade date, referred to as same-day affirmation, SDA. This can best be achieved through automation. As we venture into this new era, DTCC's consulting services team can provide comprehensive advice to market participants who wish to test, assess, and optimize their post-trade processes in advance of T+1. Much-photographed NYSE member Peter Tuchman, his Twitter handle is @EinsteinOWallStreet, shared on X, formerly Twitter, that his wife and love, Lisa Zumalt Tuchman, has passed away. She was a, quote, formidable documentary filmmaker, great mom, wonderful life partner, and extraordinary human being, unquote, Tuchman posted. Our condolences to Tuchman and his family on the passing of his wife. The headline of the day comes from NPR with, The future of crypto hinges on a fight between the SEC and a former burger flipper. The hamburger flipper is the founder and CEO of the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, Changpeng Zhao. Zimbabwe regulations compel miners to pay half of their royalties using commodities, and so far the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe has stockpiled 300,000 carats of diamonds, Bloomberg reported. For you yachting tech enthusiasts whose yachts are at least 120 feet long, the latest must-have is a submarine, the New York Times reports. The story is titled, The Latest Trend on Yachts, Submersibles, with the subheading, Only Boats at Least 120 Feet Long Can Hold a Sub, which typically costs between $2 million to $7 million. Manufacturers of the deep-sea vessels say many of their clients are wealthy enthusiasts. Our most read stories last Friday on JLN Options were, The short volatility trade is back with ETFs sucking in billions. Index tracking ETFs were all the rage until now. And investors brace for turbulence as Fed balance sheet shrinks by $1 trillion. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a podcast that I did recently. The headline, Aris Innovations and CME Group Talk Aris SOFR Product Success. John Lothian News interviewed Michael Riddle, CEO of Aris Innovations, and Aga Mirza, Managing Director and Global Head of Rates and OTC Products for the CME Group, about the success of the Aris SOFR products trading on the CME. You can listen to this podcast with the link in today's newsletter. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Can San Francisco save itself from the doom loop? The city is racing to come up with solutions for its downtown, hollowed out by a tech exodus and struggling with homelessness and street crime. Local leaders are trying to find anything they can to keep San Francisco's struggling downtown core afloat, including paying retired, unarmed police to keep an eye out for trouble. One is Mike Brown, who spent 30 years as a San Francisco cop and now patrols downtown as part of a squadron of community ambassadors, recognizable in blue shirts who aim to help commuters and shoppers feel safer in and around San Francisco's downtown commercial and shopping district. Homelessness, drug use, and nonviolent crimes like shoplifting and car thefts are commonplace in many parts of the neighborhood. My comment, I wonder if Chicago has a doom loop the loop. Here's a story from the New York Times. The headline, Letter to a Younger Crypto Enthusiast or the Merely Curious. An ever-growing number of young people, males in particular, have bought cryptocurrencies. Here's some advice without the finger wagging. You were right. It's not a passing fad. For all of the legal trouble that entrepreneurs like Sam Bankman-Fried are in and the regulatory mess that companies like Binance find themselves in, people keep buying cryptocurrency, even as the price of Bitcoin fell precipitously in 2022. The percentage of people in the United States owning crypto grew to 11% from 3% in just a year. It's at 12% this year, according to the National Bureau of Economic Research working paper, and Bitcoin's price has risen more than 75% from its 2022 low. My comment, there's an interesting racial component to Bitcoin ownership, too. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most read story Friday was The Wall Street Journal's Here's What a $5 Million Retirement Looks Like in America. Second was, Michelle Obama Could Be America's Next President, an opinion piece from The Telegraph. Third was, How China Cornered the Market for Clean Tech, from The Financial Times. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from The Financial Review and includes a quote from myself. Inside the wild ride of Will Vickers' Caledonia, 3 decades since Caledonia, Australia's largest and most private hedge fund, was created, it still follows its bigger bets with an almost religious fervor. In one telling of the Caledonia origin story, Will Vickers is floating off the coast of Queensland in his yacht while negotiating better terms for a $11.9 billion deal to merge the Chicago Board of Trade, where the fund is a major shareholder, with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Vickers had been introduced to CBOT via a dinner Caledonia founder Mark Nelson had with John Murray, according to the Sydney stockbroker, in Italy in 2002. Murray had bought a membership, a sought-after position, that allowed holders to trade at reduced fees, and wondered if the recent digitalization of the ASX, which had resulted in an explosion of activity, could be applied in Chicago. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, ICE's $12 billion mortgage tech deal builds heft in U.S. home loans. Some lenders are anxious after FTC drops fight against Exchange Group's takeover of Black Knight. Intercontinental Exchange got a step closer to realizing 7-year-old dreams of transforming the U.S. home loan market this week after a regulator dropped opposition to its $12 billion takeover of mortgage software specialist Black Knight. For others in the mortgage market, however, the move has failed to allay anxieties about the control ICE will have over technology that could become the backbone of a fragmented $12 trillion industry. And then here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Bankman-Fried in custody after bail is revoked over leaks. Bankman-Fried immediately handcuffed and placed in custody. Bankman-Fried to be held at Metropolitan Detention Center. FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried is in custody after a federal judge said the embattled crypto mogul likely tried to tamper with 2 witnesses while on bail. U.S. District Judge Louis A. Kaplan revoked the 31-year-old's bail following a hearing in Manhattan on Friday. Bankman-Fried took off his jacket, tie, and shoelaces and was immediately placed in handcuffs as marshals escorted him out of the courtroom. His mother cried in the public gallery and was comforted by Bankman-Fried's father. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by